1 John 4, starting at verse 7, God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Amen.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your love, and for the way that you show that to us. Lord, one of those ways is we gather as your people, you will speak to us from your word. And so Lord, we are now attentive and we are listening. And we ask, Lord, that you would say those things that we need to hear. Lord, Ron has been preparing this message through the week, listening to you, following the guidance of your Spirit. Bless him now as he preaches, and put into his words your word, that we may be ministered to, encouraged, and challenged. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. It's great to see you this morning. And I mean that most sincerely. The theme is God is love. We all know what love is, don't we? Is this the kind of love that our theme is talking about? There's a song that goes, love, love, love. Da da da, love, love, da da da, love, love, love. Is it talking about love? Is that the love we're talking about this morning? No, no. What about this other one? Is it the same song? All you need is love. Da 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 da. All you need is love. Da 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 da. All you need is love, love. All you need is love. Okay, what about this one? You know this guy? He's saying this. Everybody loves somebody sometime. Was he sober when he sang that? No, he was, because that's how he always sang. He was always drunk. Yeah, this is a huge topic. Love. God is love. God is love. And today I want to try and unpack that, because in my preparation, I've had to unpack some of my own thoughts on what I thought this meant, God is love. Let me give you a thought experiment. Here are two scenarios. Scenario one, imagine We're on a ship, but it springs a leak. Tokelau ship. It springs a leak and starts sinking. And while we're running to the lifeboats, you manage to grab a bag. And in the bag, it contains a bottle of water, canned tuna, and the best of all, corned beef. So there we are, huddled in the lifeboat, bobbing on the open sea, and eventually we spot an island. We paddle towards it and find that it's bare. There are no shrubs, and there's no signs of fresh water. It's basically a big rock in the middle of the ocean. But it's our only hope. Your brother turns to you and says, "Boy, I'm thirsty. What do you do?" Scenario number two. Same deal. Ship leaks. Get into lifeboat. Spot an island. Paddle towards it. Only this time, you find that it's luscious. Luscious. There's a cafe called Luscious in Onehunga. That's where I met Lorraine. You can see the trees heavy with choice fruits. There's a gushing waterfall in the distance. It's a tropical paradise. Some call it Samoa. Whatever, eh? Your brother turns to you and says, "Boy, I'm thirsty." What do you do? Do you give your brother a drink of water? Well, in scenario two, you're much more likely to give him your water. And you might even throw the whole bag open and say, "Water and tuna for everyone. Let's celebrate." In scenario two, you'd treat your little bag of goods differently, wouldn't you? Why? Are you a much nicer person in scenario two? Are you suddenly more moral? What's changed between scenario one and scenario two? Well, here's what's changed. Your vision. You've seen an abundance of life, and it's liberated you to be generous. You're still the same person, but now you've seen this vision. You're celebrating. You're assured that things are now going to be okay. And John's argument in chapters 3 and 4 is this. Look, there's an abundance of life, and it's going to be okay. We're in tropical paradise territory, people. So open your little bag and share out the tuna and corned beef. That's the argument, and it's summed up beautifully in the King James's version. It says this, "Beloved, let us love." Beloved, let us love. That's John's whole argument in this section. You who are loved, go and love others. Because we're not just those who are heading towards a tropical island. We're residents of a kingdom of overflowing life recipients, of a torrent of unending blessing. Our vision has changed. John's vision has changed. So we really can afford to crack open our little stashes and be generous with our meager supplies. Verse 8 and verse 16 says, God is love. What does it mean, God is love? Well, I think we need to ask a more important question. Who is God? Before we can even talk about God is love. Who is God? Who is God? Talk to me. Who is God? Sorry? creator of the universe. Great start. Anyone else? Our lifeblood. Very good. Very good. That's wonderful. Come on, keep them rolling in. Our King. Yes. Sustainer of life. Savior. Our Savior. Wonderful, wonderful. Come on, keep them coming. Yes. Our Father. Praise the Lord. Our Father. Any others? They're all correct. They're all beautiful responses. I need to hear more. Our protector and Lord. Mark, you're dying to say something. Really? That's what I just... Okay, all right. God is love. What else? Redeemer. Come on, talk to me, talk to me. Friend. Protector. Someone else said something else. Shelter. Provider. Healer. Counselor. Alpha and Omega, life, yes. Alpha and Omega, life. Three. Did you read this? We need to know who God is before we talk about love. John is saying this. John is saying that he knows the real God. The real God is three persons united together in love. All the responses you gave me, that's exactly what I thought. I thought that, yes, God is this, God is that. But it didn't automatically come to me that God was three persons. And I need to unpack this. You may already know this stuff. And if you do, just switch off. John knows a God who in verse 14 is Father and Son, and in verse 13, Spirit. That's how John can say God is love. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit love one another so much. They uphold one another. They pour their life into one another. God doesn't just do love. God is love. God is Trinity. And in particular, you'll find the Father loving His Son in the power of the Spirit. It's an abundance of life flowing from the Father to the Son by the Spirit. Are you with me? You're not sure? That's okay. So the question is, how does that impact on us? Well, verses 9 to 10 shows how we benefit from this. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the reason that took me by surprise. God sent His Son to us to invite us into their relationship of love. I'll say it again. God sent His Son to invite us into their relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, invite us into their relationship of love. And John is saying, and if you want in on this life of love, Jesus is the only way in. Verse 9 says, we live through him. When we come to Jesus, we join hands with the Father and the Son of God, who is full of the Spirit. And in that moment, we become sons and daughters of God, filled with the same Spirit. It's a stunning truth. Folks, the more I unpack this, the more we're going to realize how important the God Spirit plays in the Trinity. But here's the question. How can he bring you and I into the love of God? I mean, look at us. Look at us. Have we been good this last week? Have we been excellent? Has God been proud of us this last week? Have you been proud of yourself this last week? Have you said things that you thought, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have sent my wife to buy this or to buy that. I shouldn't have said no to my husband. He loves me. And here I am saying, no, you can't have that when he works. And I work too. With our unlovely and unloving hearts, wouldn't we ruin this life of love? How can the God who is love accept we, the unlovely? Well, verse 10 comes to the rescue, and it says this: Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Yes, our unloveliness should bar us from the love of God. But Jesus died as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Jesus took on our unloveliness. Jesus took on our terrible sin so that we could have his love. We get life from him, and he gets death from us. What a brilliant swap that is. Whatever. My goodness. It started to hit home with me. He took my unloveliness. He took my death so that I could have his life. We're about to celebrate it at the Lord's table. Jesus is the bread of life to feed a hungry world. How is he going to give us life? Well, he'll be broken and devoured. His blood is life, because that's what it says in Leviticus 17, verse 11. The life is in the blood. And Jesus gives us his life. But he has to spill it from his own veins. He loses his life to give us life. But here's the key. Jesus is happy with that trade. Do you hear me? Jesus is happy with that trade. And why? Why is he happy with that trade? Because he loves us. He loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done, he loves you. He loves me. The little wrong that I've done, he loves me. My goodness, gracious me. The price for Jesus was the cross. So much, you got to get this, so much did he want life for us that he took death to bring us in. God is love. He would rather die for us than live without us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But not only did he send his Son to bring us in, he also sent his Spirit. God's Spirit plays such a huge part in this, in John's understanding of who God is. In verse 13 it says, "We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." How did you show love to someone this last week? Oh, you got to think about it. Was it so long ago? How did you show love to someone this last week? Well, take a moment. Think about it. How did you show love for someone this last week? Can't remember? Was it insignificant? Was it unimportant? I took, yes? Oh, so she showed real love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Ainsley. Anyone else? Gift giving. You gave her a gift. Good on you, Finn. Good on you, Finn. Well done, Finn. I like that. I like that. Anyone else? Hands up those who had an experience where they were struggling to show love this last week. Yes? You had an experience? All right. Yesterday, I had an experience. I took my mum and dad to dinner. And we had a wonderful afternoon. It was great. And then it was my treat. So we got to the counter, and I asked mum for their gold cards. All right? Mum said, "Oh, I've got the gold cards." I said, "Okay, give it to me." So I placed them side by side on the counter. And she says to me, "I can give a discount for you and your wife." My mum is standing right next to me. And she says, "I can give a discount for you and your wife, but the other gentleman will have to pay his own way." I stood there stunned. And I'm thinking, can you not see? What is wrong with you, woman? And I thought, I'm going to just continue this conversation to see perhaps she was pulling my leg. So I said to her, "Are you sure that gentleman had this meal?" And she said, "Oh, yes." "And did he have a drink?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, he'll have to pay for his own, but you and your wife will have a discount." I was getting upset. I did not sense God's love at that moment. It was the furthest thing from my mind. And then Mum said to me, when we got to the car, she said, "Are you a minister?" I said, "Yes." She said, Well, you lied to the lady. I said, no, I didn't. She said, you should have told her that that wasn't your card, and so you had to pay full. I said, no, I was upset. She was pressing home the argument, so I thought, all right, I'll go with that. So my bill, which was quite substantial, I got a discount. The Spirit's role. Can anyone tell me what is the role of the Holy Spirit? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Yes? Being reborn? To comfort? Yeah? What else? What is the role? Yes, Mike? He helps in prayer. Yes? Moderate? Yes? Guide? Heals? Anyone else? This is what John says. The role of the Holy Spirit is to spotlight Jesus Christ. And I like what he's saying. We see the Holy Spirit powerfully active. Christ is born. The Spirit is his precursor. Christ is baptized. The Spirit bears witness. Christ is tempted. The Spirit leads him. Christ ascends. The Spirit takes his place. And for us today, he comes and opens our spiritual eyes so that we can acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. It is the Spirit who gives us understanding. And when we look to Christ and say, I live through him, he died for me. That's God, the Holy Spirit, living in me. And I've been brought into the God who is the God who loves. God who is love. And so I say thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because what that is really saying to me is that God loves us more than his own life. But it also raises this question. If he has suffered hell to bring us into his everlasting life of love, then how come we're not sharing this life-saving news? And don't just say to me, well, tell me about it. How come we're not doing a single thing about it? I'm putting it to you. Why do we say, oh, but I can't? Why do we say, but I'm not confident? Why do we say, I need more time? I need to study the scriptures more. Why then is it so important to love one another and share this great news? Because that's partly what loving one another is. It's sharing the great news. Well, thankfully, John knew we might ask that question, because in the next verse, verse 11, he says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. John knew that we couldn't love people all of the time in our strength and ability. It's not in us. It's not even in our nature. But 1 John 4 verse 4 says, the greater one, the Spirit, in us, who keeps us safe from false teachers, is the same one who enables us to love one another. Everyone who loves others with the divine love of God gives proof of their new birth. This love can only come from God. You receive God's nature when you're born of God, when you're born again, your new birth. God is love. Therefore, we can live in love. Verse 12 gives two consequences of living in God's love. God is seen and love is completed. It says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. It's true. No one has ever seen God. Who was the closest that came to seeing God? Moses? And there was someone else. Starts with a J. No. He wrestled with him. Jacob. Wasn't it Jacob? Are those the only two? And Elijah. Elijah? Was it Elijah? Isaiah, the vision. On the road to Damascus. God has done two things to make himself known. The first, he sent his son as the image of the invisible God. And when people saw Jesus, they could say that they'd seen God. What about us today? Jesus died, rose again, and sits at the right hand of the Father. So if Jesus is there, how do we see God? How do we see God? This is important how you answer this question. Yes? Superior being? How do we see God? Through others. Yes? Through others. All right? This is what John has to say. It includes that. Very good. Jesus put his life into us so that when we love like Jesus loved, the world, in a sense, sees God. When the world sees Christians, now this is really important. When the world sees Christians loving each other, they're getting the best possible image of God because God is persons loving each other. So when we love, God is seen. Can you understand now why it's so important for us to love others? Because if we don't love others, God will never be seen. God will never be experienced. God is only experienced through us. And I'll come to that in a minute. Secondly, in verse 12, love is completed. God's love reaches its goal in us when it flows through us. As we love one another, the life of God is manifest in us. God's love finds its completion by creating in us that same kind of love, self-giving love. It's a love that the hard-nosed 21st century society desperately needs to see because it's the nearest that many will ever get to seeing the invisible God. This is why it's so important for us to love one another. And the responsibility belongs to whom? Who does this responsibility belong to? Us. You think it's us? I like your response. I wasn't going to be as bold to say that. I was going to say it belongs to God's forgiven people. I don't want to point any fingers. If we are God's forgiven people, then we need to stand by the words of the psalmist in 51. He says, "Spare my life, O God, and save me, and I will gladly proclaim your righteousness." If we believe that we are the forgiven people, if we believe that we have experienced the love of God, then we need to proclaim the righteousness of God. That's why it's so important for us to do that. Help me to speak, Lord, and I will praise you. As those who have received God's love, we cannot help but spontaneously love one another. And as this love flows through us, it should become evident that we love God. People should be able to look at us and see God within us. I'm not pointing fingers. In conclusion, when we think of this grubby tennis ball of a planet set in the vast infinity of space, our individuality amongst countless millions, can we really talk meaningfully about God loving us? And when we look at the world with all its evil and suffering, so many damaged and broken lives, how can there be a God who really loves? But John insists this is the very nature of God. Such an infinite yet personal creator is not too great to be bothered with my tiny life. God is so great that he can be bothered with each of us individually. We've marveled at God's detailed love and care for each of us, accepting us in our weakness and producing confidence in our lives as we reflect his love. But now, the magnificence becomes overwhelming as the throne room doors are flung open and we are introduced to the glorious person who has done all this, the God who is love. God loves within his own being because his nature is to love. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks because you are good. Your love is eternal. We give thanks to you, the mightiest of all lords. Your love is eternal. We give thanks to the God of heaven. Your love is eternal. Gracious God, please help us to understand how important it is for us to experience, to understand, to know of your love. It's so important that as we experience your love, we also get to know who you are. When we leave this place, cause us to seek you, to rely on you, to experience your love in different ways. Because you are the God who loves. Amen.